Ahojte priatelia, vítajte opäť pri Chcem viac podcaste, opäť so vzácnymi hostiami z Izraela, mesianskými židmi, Shilom a Sarou Ben-Hod. Tešíme sa, že sú tu spolu s nami a keďže tento podcast bude opäť prebiehať v angličtine, tak vám odporúčame buď si zapnúť na YouTube titulky, alebo ak nás počúvate cez Spotify, tak sa prepnúť na YouTube a zapnúť si titulky, ak potrebujete titulky na angličtinu. So welcome again podcast. Last time we've been talking about Israel, about Messianic Jews and how they are believing in Jesus and what's the differences between Christians and Messianic Jews. And we've been also talking about relationship, about how you get married. So maybe you could give some advice for couples that are awaiting their marriage, they're just dating, that what's your advice for them? What they should do or what they shouldn't do before the marriage. Mm-hmm.
So I can say that there's something that I always share with couples, that in a relationship we have like the physical, the emotional, and also the commitment levels, and that they always have to be matching, like in the same level. Because what happens a lot of times is that if you see that you aren't going to get married within a year or more, then the other things need to match, emotional and also physical, because otherwise it's very hard to stay pure and also emotionally, but also physically. And so I would just encourage, you know, couples to, it's awesome to get married, but so, you know, sometimes you have to wait a certain period before. And yeah, so I would just say that to keep those all at the same level.
Yeah. And I would maybe add that, to make sure that you can go out, you can go watch movies, you can go to restaurants, but also make sure you spend time praying together and even reading the word together, because that will actually bring you so much closer when you do that. And it's a foundation, it's stones you are laying also for the future. And if you don't have it, it's like a house built on sand. Mm. So it's good to be building your relationship on this. And also understanding that love is not just an emotion. Sure, you do feel, you know, emotions when you are in love, but love is firstly decision. You know, God says, first commandments, first and greatest commandment, you should love me with all your heart, mind, and soul. Like, how you can command someone to love? Like, no, you love me now, you know, like, because you can't make someone have emotions. Yeah. But love is a decision. So you can choose and say, I am going to love her from now and forever. And that means if it's a choice, then when something difficult will come, and maybe emotion is there, maybe emotion is not there, it doesn't matter, because you made the choice and you go with it. And there is a blessing when you follow the covenant, when you follow the... So understanding marriage as... You know, so many people get divorced now, and it's really hurtful for the society, for the kids, for the people around. Understanding marriage is not something like, I hope it's gonna work, or like, no, marriage is for life. And so, like, having this mindset from the beginning.
Yeah, I like it.
I think something else I would also add is that... before marriage is such an important time to dedicate your life to the Lord and really draw near to Him. And I've seen the effect in it that once you do get married, and sometimes it gets harder, you know, you have responsibilities, and you see that also your husband isn't perfect as much as I'm not perfect. So, you know, this fantasy that sometimes we build, especially in our days, you know, that it's just blissful and everything is perfect, but we're human. And then we have to have that security that we can turn to God and He can be the one to fill us up. And my husband can't fill all the needs that I have, but only God can. So that's also important.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I like your advice. It's actually... I think I've heard when we talk together that you've been dating for 5 or 6 years before you get married.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same as me and my wife. And yeah, I appreciate your advices because they're true. Mm-hmm. when we are in talking about marriage, we also are talking about kids. And one thing I enjoyed very much in your movie, not movie clips, but music clips, mm-hmm. is that you incorporate in those clips every generation, like the old ones, middle ages, young kids, even infants in their mummy hands. And that's awesome. I think that's great. I think that this is some aspect that is missing maybe in church. But how do you handle those kids when they cry, when they are angry, when they are sad, hungry, whatever, thirsty? How do you handle that?
So we have a lot of snacks. We have a lot of food and we have a lot of help. So a lot of the older kids young adults, they grab children. And, you know, if the parents sometimes were busy singing or... So we have a lot of help. A lot of the people that come are family or just part of our community. So we feel very comfortable. Next week, we're all a big family. But we really feel the importance that also what we do privately in our own congregation and times of worship, that the kids are with us. We also do it whenever we record our music video. So it comes out.
And it doesn't, the music video doesn't have to be perfect. You know, like people... I think people are not looking for perfect. People are looking for real. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the kids will... We have one video, and I will not say which one, but that you see different shots, and one time the kid is here, one time the kid is there, one time the kid is there. Doesn't make sense production-wise, but that was the situation, you know? Maybe there is... I can share one video we did. My son kept moving. It's called Daily, that song, and he kept moving, and we're like, how can we make him stay, you know? So we had a Bluetooth speaker, which we're using to put the music and to sing lip sync. So we put it on the floor, and I told my son, you have to guard this speaker, you know? So you put your legs between it, you know, you stand above it, and now this is your position, and you need to make sure nobody come, and this is where... And that was amazing, you know? Like, he just stood there. And he was singing, and you can see in the video, he was passionate about it. So beautiful. Cute. We have in the same video, we have also one part. We wanted him to run towards me because it's about like, the song is about being a son of God. Mm. So my son and me, it's so, but it was difficult to make him run to me. So we said to him, listen, if you run, we're going to give you sweets. You know?
So also bribing.
You know, it's not perfect, but it works.
Sure.
But back to the other videos, we are intentional about putting the kids in because they are in. You know, like we don't like this separation. When people go to church, adults go here, kids go there. This is not a community. This is not a body. A body is together. You know, and it's not just about. You know, a kid will shout during the sermon. Okay, like a sermon you can listen on YouTube, sermon you can listen, but much of church, and I would say the majority, is to build community, is to build relationship, is to build patience, you know? And that comes when the kids are in the picture, and they should be in the picture. And I think many people, they don't say it, maybe they don't even know it, but they're looking for it. That's why I think part of the reason our videos are successful, because it shows something that people don't show usually, so it's attractive to people, and I think it's really good. Maybe last thought is that the Bible says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, which means it's not me and my wife, or it's not me, it's me and my house, it's my kids, it's everyone, and that's how we should be serving and worshiping as a house, you know, as a family.
Yeah, maybe this is also the answer for my another question I had, that how you raise your kids in faith. Maybe this is a part of the answer, that you bring them together with you always.
Yeah.
But maybe you have some other things you do.
I mean, we're newbies. Like, we're just starting.
We're
trying our best. Our oldest is a 6-year-old, and we have a 4-year-old, and we have a baby. And we have times of worship and teaching at home. We desire to do it every night. We pray with them as much as we can, and we bring them along with us. And they're always asking. They're very small, so they're still analyzing things, and they ask many, many questions, especially our eldest. And our eldest, he has one believer, another believer in his school, a school of maybe 500 kids. And he comes home sometimes and he tells us, I had a fight today with this one kid because he said that he's stronger than God, but I told him that he's not. So just really sweet things. And he's starting to have to speak out, and he shares his faith openly. We try not to put fear in him to speak out his faith. And we have the privilege of being on YouTube. So it's so easy for him to tell his friends what his parents do because they pull up the YouTube. And it's really funny because he'll tell them, yeah, I just write solo like on YouTube. You'll see my parents. So they do. They pull it out in their living rooms. And then they'll start asking him, so what do you guys do? He's like, yeah, we believe in Yeshua. You know, we worship God. And they'll start. And then I think we found out that one of the fathers of this one kid was like baptized like when he was younger, because I guess he came from like a Catholic background. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it's very special. And that family actually listens to our songs sometimes now. So, yeah, I guess.
And it's also good, I think, to understand that when you're raising kids, you're always under the camera. I mean, like, you're always being watched by your kids, you know. So if I'm talking to my wife, my kids see that. And if, you know, like, oh, today I'm feeling so tired, I don't want to go to Kehila congregation church. So no, like, if you will not go when you're tired, then he will not go when he's tired. So being example all the time, yeah. That's very important. That speaks more than words.
And that's very hard also.
That's the hardest, you know. But these are the practical things. Make sure you have a regular daily, at least daily, or, you know, time with the kids of worship, prayer, and reading to them or something like that. And also, yeah, making sure you're an example.
Sure, thank you. And concerning your videos, music videos, you often worship with Arabic Christians in the picture. I think that's amazing testimony on unity before God, before Christ. So how is the gospel spread in Arabic communities around Israel? Or maybe you have some thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how the gospel really advanced in the Arab. I'm not an Arab. But I can say for the relationship between Jews and Arabs in Israel, Messianic, I mean, yeah. Christians. Up until 15 years ago, maybe, there was not much interaction between the two. You know, there was the body of Messiah of Arabs, body of Messiah of Jews, and we do not interact so much. Because in our culture, both as Jews and Arabs, regardless of believers, we don't like each other, you know. And we have very strong ideas about the land that we live in. And actually, for me, I never had a friend or never had an Arab which I talked with until I was 15 years old. And you see them in the street and in the shop and you don't talk. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty sad. But when I was 15, I found an Arab Christian guy, friend. It was very difficult in the beginning to establish a relationship because we will fight all the time, you know, politics. But we realize when we worship together, when we pray together, then all of these differences, they fade and we become really friends. Like, we really love each other and we love to spend time together. And the more we did that, we grew in relationship. So he became one of my best friends, this guy. And I also have other Arab friends. You can see them in the videos. But for me, it was a process. It wasn't like one day and then God changed my heart. It was a process because it's a process of purification, of changing, reconciliation of my heart with them. And in the 7th of October, all of this was shaken for me, mm-hmm. because we saw the videos. I mean, videos you should not see and pictures you should not see. And that was a massacre. In the size of like Holocaust, maybe not numbers, but even more brutal, like ISIS. And me and my wife just saw these things and we were crying. Maybe full day just crying, and another day just like crying and crying. So it was really difficult. My heart was full of anger. And like I wanted to hurt someone, you know, really. And my thoughts and my words, I didn't believe I have it. And I was asking God, please, God, take it away from me, because this is not good. This is toxic. I feel darkness, you know. My Arab friends, Christian friends from Israel, they were trying to call me and check how I am. But I was so angry, I couldn't talk to them. I couldn't pick up the phone. I couldn't, because I couldn't think about Arab people now because of all that I saw and all the hostages. And so basically, after a week, a friend of mine called me, Arab guy, and I really didn't want to answer him also, but I felt, I don't know why, I just answered the phone. And he reminded me, he told me, do you remember 1 month ago, a month before the war, what happened? And what happened a month before the war is we filmed a music video for a song that we wrote, a solo, and it's a song about asking God. The chorus says, it begins here and it begins now, when we are on our knees, making time, making space, and basically asking God for revival in our land. Mm. And when we wrote the song a year ago, we felt this song has to be in Hebrew and Arabic, because when Yeshua comes back to Israel, there will be Jews and Arabs in the land. And basically we felt we have to make this cry together. So my friend who called me when I'm angry, right, October, he said, last month in September, we were filming this, Jews and Arabs together, and God spoke to my heart and he said to me, remember what is going on. Remember what's going on in the room right now. This will help you, because something very terrible is going to happen in a month. Or he didn't say in a month, but soon. He said, something terrible is going to happen soon, and you need this memory in order to go through with forgiveness. So when he told me that, actually, I remember that he shared with me this a month before. but I totally forgot about it. So that really broke the stone of my heart, because I was thinking, God, you are so merciful that you made sure to prepare me. You knew what's going to happen. I don't understand everything. I don't have the answers. But God, in his sovereignty, knew what will happen on the 7th of October and the whole terrible war that is happening. But he wanted me to... He knew the process he took me through. And he didn't want this process to be destroyed, because the enemy wants to destroy, kill, and steal. Right? This is from the Bible. And this war is not really about land. This war is not about this strip of Gaza, this Judea and Samaria, West Bank. This war is about who will get the worship, Satan or God. And it's spiritual war. It's a spiritual warfare. That's the source of it. If you look at it as political war, you will miss it. It's a spiritual war. And God is doing greater things than the enemy. The enemy is trying to destroy relationship, destroy the love that is being built. But the kingdom of God is always advancing.
Amen.
Never going back.
Amen.
So that's why I was so thankful to God. I was crying and I was saying, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. My heart changed. That moment, he did change immediately. And I am... felt so much love towards my friends, and I called them and I said, I'm so sorry, and like, you're my brother. He's my brother, you know, more than
So I think also just the Lord, from the very beginning of our ministry, has been highlighting that in the body of Messiah in Israel, it's both Jews and Arabs. Like, for many years it's been kind of like the Jewish body and then the Arab body, and slowly we see that God is uniting us, and we really feel the importance of releasing videos that we worship God together. And it's a sign not only for the body of Messiah that we're one and that we can sing and worship together, because we have the same Father and same beliefs, and it's very much we need to be unified, but it's also a sign for the non-believers,
sure,
the Jews in Israel, you know, and the Arabs. how is it possible that you were singing,
loving each other?
Yeah, like it's yeah, and it starts conversation. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's powerful to hear those stories from your life. And maybe I have one last question. Since we are recording this podcast during EVS conference, which is called 70 times 7, and it's based on Jesus' words on forgiveness. That means we should always forgive. Maybe you can follow up with these and to add something. Has something happened in your life that was hard to forgive, or something you have done and you think it was hard to forgive?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think recently I had a situation. I don't want to get into details because it was a bit of personal, but I was disappointed, very disappointed by someone, and I didn't want to forgive them, and I felt like, but it was like this ongoing thought of like disappointment and unforgiveness and disappointment. And then I remembered, you know, the Lord forgave us, and the Lord has, you know, there's victory in Him. So I was like, oh, I have a way out, you know. So I prayed, we both prayed, and it was like, oh, and it suddenly it's like we pulled out from the whole situation, and we're like, oh, that was so like easy. And at the end, because seeing it in the Lord's eyes, so I don't know if it's clear or not.
Unforgiveness is first hurting yourself when you don't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you a captive. And I think that forgiveness always comes after you understand how much you've forgiven. Yeshua told a parable, right, that he said, like, there's two slaves or two, you know, servants. One was forgiven a lot, one was forgiven less. Who loved more? And then they say, the one who forgiven a lot, you know? So truth is, we are all forgiven a lot. No, like, oh, I forgiven less. So no, the amount of how much you were forgiven is revelation from God. And you need this revelation in your life. And then you understand the Lord's prayer, you know, forgive us as we forgive our debtors, the ones who hurt us. God's forgiveness is not just for us to, you know, feel good, but it's for us to offer it to others. It's like we just celebrated Passover, the Feast of Passover. Mm-hmm. You know, what did Moses say to Pharaoh? He said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Yeah? No, he didn't say let my people go. He said, let my people go so that they may worship me. Right? So the freedom was in order to worship. So forgiveness is not just to be forgiven. Forgiveness is that you can be forgiven. You can forgive others. And that's when your heart becomes full. It's difficult. It's not it's easy to talk about.
I think just one thought is the 7th of October, I think, is the strongest thing in my heart. Is like, how can we forgive them for everything that they did to us? And they're still doing to us, you know? And it's really hard. But I'm reminded of what Yeshua says, that we have to pray for those that are enemies. Mm. We have to love our enemies. We have to pray for them. So for me, it's like, how is that even possible? But through a lot of prayer, we've been praying a lot for the Gaza people, and we've been praying for Hamas, and we pray that God will reveal Himself to them, and we have hope that they will also receive Yeshua, and God can do anything. And at the end of the day, He loves those people. And they obviously have opened their hearts to do evil. And it's very strong in them. But we really, it's a process that we're going through. But I think we're starting to forgive them.
Mm.
And it's hard because our people don't really want to do that. So
thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your heart with us.
Mm.
Sheila, Sarah, we are really honored you've been at our podcast, Chcem Viac podcast, and also even that you have come to Slovakia. It's a great honor to have you as a guest.
We love being here.
But not even guests. You're our friends, you're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's amazing. Thank you.
Exactly.
Priatelia, keď ste sa dopočúvali až doteraz, tak ste počúvali Chcem viac podcast s našimi priateľmi, a nielen priateľmi, ale aj bratmi a sestrami z Izraela, mesiánskymi židmi Šilom a Sarou Benhodovými. Odporúčam vám vypočuť si aj ďalšie podcasty, ktoré nájdete na našom YouTube kanále alebo na našich iných streamovacích platformách, a samozrejme aj ďalšie prednášky z konferencie o odpustení 70x7. Všetko nájdete na stránke chcemviac.com a na teda všetkých streamovacích platformách, ako som ich spomínal. Ak máte nejaké pripomienky, podnety na ďalšie podcasty, možno nejaké povzbudenie, budeme veľmi vďační, ak nám to napíšete do komentárov. Ak budete šíriť tieto podcasty medzi svojimi známymi, dáte na nich like alebo proste odber, čokoľvek. Budeme za to vďační, ohodnotite ich. Možno premýšľate aj nad tým, že by ste chceli s Pánom Bohom kráčať tak viac. Každé ráno posielame na viac ako 2500 e-mailových adries ranné krátke biblické zamyslenia. Môžete sa prihlásiť na odber a pridať sa k týmto odberateľom a čítať si spolu s nami Božie slovo. Počúvali ste Chcem viac podcast, ďakujeme. Zapnite si nás aj na budúce. Ahojte.